Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth, with the sole purpose of advancing and enhancing the lives of women. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, everyone. We're so happy to join you this evening. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And you are listening to the Living by Design show. We are so excited to be with you this evening. We're going to welcome everyone in the chat room, and we're going to welcome all of our listeners that are dialed in and everyone that will be listening from the archive downloads. Welcome, you all. We have a very exciting show topic tonight, Tony. I am really anxious to get into this topic. This is something that so many people have been involved with, online dating.
Yeah, I'm really interested to hear the concept with our guest and first of all, why it actually happened, why she developed the site and everything. You're right. It's going to be an exciting show.
Very interesting, absolutely. But before I get to that, I just want to say a couple things to my listeners, my fans. It's been a very, very busy week, and I'm sure you all know that we get a lot of fan mail for the Living by Design show, and Tony and I want to thank you for that. And I feel so blessed with the opportunities that I've been presented with, and my consulting business is doing well, and it means a great deal when I can make a difference in the lives of so many people. And Tony, you can attest to that because, you know how much it means to me when I get thousands of emails from listeners and people telling me that my radio shows and newsletters or a seminar they recently attended changed their life. That, to me, is success. I mean, many people are in this business for so many reasons, and, you know, of course, monetary gain is always the number one priority. But, you know, my thoughts on that are that when you put yourself out into the universe, opening your spirit for the path that God has orchestrated for your life, everything will happen the way it's supposed to happen, including the monetary gain. I mean, you don't have to chase money. I just totally don't believe in that. And you know, Tony, I think I mentioned to you about this one particular letter that I received recently, and it meant so much to me.
Yes.
And I want to just read a little bit of that. It was a very long email note, and I'm not going to read it all, but I just want to read a little bit of that note that I got from one of the people that really enjoys listening to the show, and you know, she's also been to one of my seminars, and I'm going to share a little bit of that with you, my loyal listeners. And one of the pieces in it says, "Miss Hill, you are successful, rich, and wealthy, not because of the money in your pockets, but because of your passion, love for others, and willingness to help others succeed. You are rich in your ability to empower others. You are wealthy in your ability to serve, and successful because you have made the choice to give rather than receive. One of the most important things I've learned from you is that the best way to have everything is to give it all away. And giving your all is where your pride lies." And that meant so much to me, Tony. That really meant a lot to me.
Yeah, it's always good to know that the work that you're doing is helping someone, and that's where the value comes. As you mentioned earlier, it's not about the monetary gain. It's about really the emotional and spiritual gain, because when you help someone, when you do give, it always comes back to you tenfold. So you're doing a great job, and it's good to hear that folks are responding to that.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Well, we make a great team, you and I.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
We do.
And so before we get into our topic tonight, because I know our listeners are chomping at the bit, anxious, because I'm very anxious as well, I want to just give you a little bit of preview of a few upcoming show topics we have in the next few weeks to follow. Next week, we will be speaking to Dr. Lori Nadell, And Dr. Nadell will be coming to us to talk about overcoming the fear of public speaking, which is a very important topic because quite a few of my listeners do seminars and workshops, and they are in front of an audience. And not only will this show help you with your fear of public speaking, but it will also help you to communicate more effectively with everyone, friends, family members. Just effective communication is so important, and it's very important to do it with no fear. So Dr. Lori is a columnist for the New York Times. She's also a writer and producer for both CBS and ABC News, and she's been on many, many talk shows, including Oprah. And she's a very nice young lady. I've talked to her many times. And her work has also been featured in the Associated Press and many publications, Ladies Home Journal, Investors Business Daily. So she will be here next week. And then the following week, we'll be talking to Dr. Joanne Cutler about single parenting. And that's one of those topics that we get quite a few write-ins asking, and we will be featuring that topic. That's a very, very highly requested topic. So Dr. Joanne will be joining us the following week. And then on October 1st, we will have Miss Barbara Corcoran. And Barbara, her story is amazing, Tony. And we talked about her many times. She is a self-made millionaire. And I can't wait for her to come on and tell her story. She is a regular contributor on the NBC Today show. She's also been on CNBC's The Big Idea. She's a best-selling author. And when she tells her story of how she became a self-made millionaire, it's just going to blow my listeners away. So I am really looking forward to that show as well. So moving on to tonight's topic about Internet dating. Now, I have a few stats here before I bring our guest onto the line. Miss Stephanie Alexander is the CEO and owner of her website that she created, and she's going to explain to us about her website. It's called womensavers.com. And I just want to give you a few statistics on online dating. It is so popular. It's so popular. I cannot believe that more than 20 million people visit online dating services once a month. This is on a monthly basis. Can you believe that, Tony?
That's a lot of folks.
That is a lot of folks. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Stephanie on the line, and I'm going to let her explain more about her service, her website, and what she does. Stephanie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. We are very excited to have you this evening, and we're anxious to hear about your website, womensavers.com. I'm going to go ahead and put that in my chat room here so everyone will know. Womensavers.com. Is that correct?
Yes, it's spelled with an A-N, as in singular woman, plural savers. A lot of women make the mistake and they type in women. It's woman savers. We're saving one woman at a time.
Okay, I got you. Okay. Now, if you could just go ahead and give our listeners a little bit of background as to what inspired you to start this service. What did something happen in your experience, or did you know someone that had a bad experience? What tell us a little bit about what Woman Savers is and what inspired you to start it.
Okay, both of what you mentioned. I had personal experiences, and I also pretty much know countless women who have experienced abuse and infidelity. And what Woman Savers is it is a free worldwide date screening service for women. So any woman can go in anywhere in the world, and she can enter, say, her state or her city, and thousands of men's names will come up alphabetically. And if a man has been entered, she can read what other women have had to say about him, and then she can inform her own decision or research it further.
Okay. Okay. And it's been around for how long?
I started it in 2002, and basically I've experienced all forms of abuse. I experienced abuse as a child, date rape in college, emotional, physical, and verbal abuse as a young adult. I had to file a restraining order against a man. I've had stalkers. And then throw into that a series of really bad internet dating experiences, and I fell into a very deep and dark depression. I was living in New York City at the time, and I was moping around in my robe for months at a time, and suddenly an idea just hit me like lightning. Why don't I create a search engine that categorizes women's information so we can network together to share our stories and information so we can make safer and better and more informed decisions regarding the men in our lives? And that's when I started it.
So, Stephanie, this is primarily, it's really a tool more than anything else.
Yes, it is a tool, and there's some very strong terms of use. And one of those terms of agreement is that before a woman posts, she has to agree that she's telling the truth, because the truth is 100% defense to libel. And that goes anywhere on the internet. If you are posting on a message board, on your own blog, on your website, into a database, if you tell the truth, you're good to go. Or if you post your opinion, like, for example, you could say something like, I think John or Jane is a jerk, or John or Jane was a jerk to me, and that falls under freedom of speech, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop you from voicing your opinion. But if you say something serious like John or Jane gave me herpes, you better make sure that you have medical factual proof to back up your statement, because if you don't, you could be sued for libel. So it is the author that is responsible for their own post.
Got you. Now, the one thing I wanted to ask in this situation, because I love the fact that it is a tool and it is being used from the standpoint of that truth aspect, because so many, that was my concern, because from the standpoint of a man and a woman getting revenge on a man, how do you keep that from happening? I know you said it has to be the truth, but someone,
you can't,
maybe,
you know what, you can't control the internet. It is a complete free-for-all, as we all know. Yeah. Anybody can pose as anyone. I can head to my local internet cyber cafe or internet library. I can pretend to be a doctor, a lawyer. I can write whatever I want about anybody I want, and I can spout out a bunch of lies, and nobody will ever be able to track who did it or find out anything about me. So we make it very clear that none of the information can be really guaranteed or verified, because these are not government records, although many of the women who do post will, you know, they'll link to criminal records, and they'll say, you know, I have a restraining order against this guy, or he's a deadbeat dad and he doesn't pay child support and things like that. But a man can even go and self-post himself, and they frequently do. They pretend to be women, and they rant and rave about how great they are in bed. And, you know, there's nothing you can do. I wish you could hook up everybody to a lie detector test, but you can't.
Okay.
Yeah, and see, I guess my concern with that, Stephanie, is, you know, you have a great concept, in my opinion. I think this is a great idea. It's a wonderful website. It's a tremendous resource for women that really do need help. I mean, they're really trying to protect themselves, and when you have... Well, I'll just choose my words carefully here, but when you have people that don't want to act right, they don't want to behave and use the resource like it's supposed to be used, I mean, it just kind of defeats the purpose of having it, because, I mean, that doesn't, don't you think that causes it to lose credibility?
Absolutely, but there's no way to stop it. You cannot stop somebody from posting anywhere on the internet. They can grab a fake IP, they can reroute through something, and you cannot stop them. So, and even if you stop them from one computer, they can, like I said, they can go to a cyber cafe, or they can get an anonymizer and get another IP address. And so I know personally that there's no way to stop somebody. It's the best it can be for now. If a man is entered multiple times by multiple women as being abusive, then there usually is an issue with the guy. If a guy doesn't agree with what's written, he's free to tell his side of the story, because there's two sides to every story, so there's differing opinions going in there. But, you know, there is not much more that you can do.
Stephanie, what kind of success stories have you had behind this? I mean, I know any time that someone is stopped or incidents are stopped from happening. It's a success story. But do you have any stories of women who have contacted you to let you know that if it weren't for your site, they may have been in a difficult situation?
Yes, I have thousands of those stories. Literally, Woman Savers averages between 1 to 1.5 million hits per month, and it's in the top 1% most popular women's websites in the world. So it's a very busy site. And let's see, what one that comes to mind is I worked with the New York DA to catch an identity thief last year. I had a woman, well, a bunch of women. There was a serial bigamist who was marrying different women throughout the Midwest. He had 7 different wives, and they found out about each other through the website. Currently, marriage records are only linked in Nevada, Texas, and Florida. So this guy would target divorced, lonely, overweight women who were very insecure that wouldn't question why he wasn't home on Christmas and always traveling, and just kept marrying woman after woman. And finally, they found out about each other, and they were able to finally stop him. That's one. And then there's a pedophile story that's pretty intense, because pedophiles, if you're a single mother listening out there, pedophiles target single mothers for access to their children, especially on the internet. You don't know who you're dealing with. And there was a woman who was involved with a guy who she thought was the greatest guy. She met him online. Everything was fine and dandy, and he started offering to babysit her 6-year-old son. Her son started acting out, wetting the bed, throwing tantrums, not wanting to be around the new boyfriend. She didn't put two and two together. After about 6 to 7 months, the boyfriend disappeared into thin air. Her son continued to act out, and she didn't find out until months later, after she went to therapy with her son, that her boyfriend had been sodomizing her son repeatedly and told her son that if he said anything to his mother, that he would kill his mother. So these are just some examples. So most of the stuff is not really lighthearted stuff that's in the site. There are con artists, bigamists, thieves, abusers, a lot of really, really bad people, and 80% are probably negative postings, and 20% are positive.
Well, let me ask you this, Stephanie, because, you know, you're right. There are always going to be both sides. There are going to be negative stories and positive stories. In the case of online dating, because it is so very popular, I'm sure you heard me mention one of the statistics before I brought you on the line, and there are so many people that are trying it today that there needs to be, for lack of a better word, there needs to be an owner's manual or user's guide on how to use the Internet for dating. There are so many popular websites.
I wrote a book on that, yeah.
Oh, really? Because there should be some rules of how to conduct yourself, rules of behavior.
Yes, there should be.
Certainly. I'm serious. I mean, because there are red flags that women can look for. I mean, every guy can be wonderful. Well, every woman can be wonderful for that matter. Mm-hmm. Everyone can be wonderful in the beginning when they first meet someone, but there are certain behavior methods that women must understand, and men, you must understand before you just jump head first into, or heart first, feet first, into a relationship. And just because the guy or the girl is sending wonderful email notes and you meet in person and they're gorgeous or whatever the case may be, that's not enough. That is not enough.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I wrote a book called Sex Lies and the Internet, which is basically an online dating survival guide that shows women just how to do that. Women are not screening their dates properly. They're taking huge risks. They're moving way too fast. You've got a stranger on the other end. You have no idea who you are dealing with. You could be dealing with a guy who's knowingly spreading STDs. You could be dealing with a con artist who's targeting you. You just don't know. And so there are various steps that you can take besides doing a character check on websites like Woman Savers, a full background check for under $50 that you can now get on the Internet. All you need is a first and last name and a birth date, and you can find out if you're dealing with a convicted felon, and also a sexual predator search. You need to do all these searches, and then after a guy comes out clean and you've researched him, then let the romance blossom and begin.
Now, I like that. What you just said, that's absolutely wonderful, because your website is a free service for women, and that's great, because your website could be the start of their investigation, and then they could move, if they do find that the gentleman has a profile there, then they could move to the next level, which would be a more thorough, in-depth background check, which I highly recommend. I'm seeing a very wonderful individual right now, and I mean, you know, he's a great guy, and I didn't see any red flags in the beginning, none at all. But I still did a background check anyway, just because, you know, that's just something that I felt was necessary, because I really didn't know him, and I was starting to really get those feelings, and I wanted to make sure that it was okay for me to move to the next level. So I would highly recommend a background check. Stephanie, your service is excellent, but I would also recommend, in addition to your service, that ladies, if you're listening, or even gentlemen, if you're listening, not get involved with someone unless you have absolutely checked them out thoroughly.
Yes, and men have to watch out for different things than women out there. Men have to watch out for gold diggers.
Yes.
If you're a man out there with money, you know, if you're flaunting your money around, you're going to attract those women that want in your pocketbook. So I recommend, you know, staying low-key about it. And also, women have to watch out more so for physical abuse. I mean, men are physically stronger, so they don't have to worry about, you know, getting beat up by a woman unless they're like a Liza Minnelli's husband type of guy who says that Liza Minnelli, you know, just beat him up. So I can't even, I don't know, I was trying to picture that, and just I laugh every time I think about it, but maybe it is true, you know, so I feel sorry for the guy, I guess. But so they have to look out for different things. But yeah, definitely, if a woman's been married 2, 3, 4 times, you know, you got to take a second look.
Right, because everyone can appear wonderful in the beginning, so you just...
And they usually do, because they've got their best face on. And you were saying about some statistics. MSNBC did a survey a couple years ago, and I'm not sure where they got their statistics, but their findings came out that 2 out of every 5 men on dating sites are actually married. So that's 2 out of 5. So that's another thing you got to watch out for, is people who are already hooked up. They are out cavorting left and right. There are even websites out there specifically for committed people to cheat, like meettocheat.com or ashleymadison.com. And these are safe havens where married people or committed people, you have to be, you know, dating sites for them to cheat.
That's,
I mean,
right.
It's insane.
I mean,
that's
like you said, the internet is used for so many different reasons today, and cheating is it has to be at the top of.
Well, I have a great tip that you can do while you're just corresponding early on. If you think you may be dealing with somebody who's committed, this works great for men and for women. First of all, you ask for a home phone number as early as possible. And if they're hesitant about that, or maybe they don't have one, maybe they just have a cell phone, then you consistently call between the hours of about 7:30 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. And if they always have an excuse for not being able to answer, or it's always going to voicemail, you may be dealing with somebody who's committed, because that's when people are with their partners or their families. And so that's a red flag right there. You may be dealing with somebody committed.
Now, Stephanie, let me ask you this, and I'm not really sure how to say it, but a lot of times women are very, very lonely, and sometimes they do see the red flags, and I totally understand, you know, it's very difficult when you are lonely, and you really just want the companionship, but sometimes maybe the red flags aren't, you know, so prevalent, maybe they aren't, you know, just, you know, smack you in your face type of red flag, maybe it's a subtle red flag, and they choose to ignore it because they're lonely and they want companionship. What can you say to those ladies to, you know, help them understand that, you know, your self-pride is and your, you know, potential for being hurt it's very important?
Well, what you just stated is very, very common. Women have the tendency to rationalize red flags away. They'll see the red flags and they'll say, "Oh, but, you know, he's a really good provider." Or, "But we have so much fun together, you know, I'll just let that go." And so they just rationalize the red flags away and they keep moving forward. And so what women really need to understand is, I compare it to a baked cake. You have to work on yourself and develop your own hobbies and have love in all forms of your life, not just in a male-female relationship or a partnership relationship. You can have love in the form of a parent, a friend, a sibling, a son or a daughter, even a pet, and or your work. I mean, there's so many different types of love. Charity is a form of love also. And develop these, and then you have a completely fulfilled life, and you won't be lonely anymore. So when you meet somebody, you won't be in this desperate situation, and that person will become the icing on your perfectly baked cake because you'll already be a fulfilled person.
So the whole premise is to make sure that, well, and we've spoken about this on the show several times, but the whole premise, as Kathy has stated many times when she's trying to work with the client, is you have to fill yourself up. You have to be who you are to yourself, be your best friend, love yourself, care for yourself, and then whomever is a part of your life, they're just like an added bonus, as you said, the icing on the cake.
That's right.
And I always try to tell my clients, too, that the best time to enter into a relationship is when you don't need a relationship.
That's exactly true.
When you love yourself to the point where you are totally happy, you're totally fulfilled, and you don't need it, that's the best time because you love yourself. You have something to give. If you don't have anything to give and you're looking for someone else to validate you and fulfill you, that's not the time to look for a relationship because you're a target.
No, and it doesn't happen either. Nobody else can fulfill you. You
That's
really
right.
have to work on yourself, and it takes a long time to get to that point. It took me a long time to get in a point in my life where I thought, okay, you know, I am so happy and right now by myself. I don't need anyone to complete me. It's fine whether I get in a relationship or not. And lo and behold, what happens? One comes right into my life.
Now,
yeah,
one thing I want
to... Go ahead, Tony.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I just wanted to ask, Stephanie, once, let's say, for instance, you have a lady or a woman that goes to the site, and they've listened to the show, and they've gone to the site, and they've been dating this guy for whatever the period of time they have, and they put in his information because they have the information, and his name comes up. What should they do from that point? I mean, I know it's their choice, but I'm sure there are some steps that they can take after that initial shock.
Well, they need to research further is what they need to do. If it says that person has a criminal record, if it says that person was abusive, they can contact the original author. There's an in-house messaging system. They can leave a message for that person. Whether that person will answer or not, you know, is another question. But, then a correspondence can start between the person who posted it and the person who may be getting involved with that person, and they can find out more. And or they can dig deeper. They can start asking more questions or they cannot proceed at all. It at least gives you some options.
Well, I know there, like we talked about the red flags and signs. And so let's talk a little bit about how a woman should conduct herself when she does meet a guy that she seems to be interested in. Should she start off by asking a lot of personal questions, or should they try to keep it light in the beginning? How, in your opinion, in your book, does it talk a lot about how to function or behave in the beginning?
Yes, it does. It gives all sorts of tips, but in the beginning, you should stay as light as possible. But if somebody says they're a doctor or an attorney, throw in a couple medical questions and see how they answer. You know, see if they can even answer those questions to see if they really are a doctor. Don't come across as too sexy in the beginning. If you pick sexy screen names and post a sexy photo, you are going to attract the type of people that want to use you and just want you as a notch on the bedpost. So if that's not what you're looking for, then don't come across like that. Even though it does attract a lot of men, the old saying is true, you're going to attract the wrong kind. Always meet in a public place, like a coffee shop on the first date. Go Dutch. Don't expect a man to pay. Drive separate cars. Always let somebody know where you are going, and maybe even have an emergency call bailout call or a checkup call at a certain time. Have your girlfriend call to make sure you're safe. And then keep everything very light. And, you know, you don't want to get anything too heavy in the beginning or you'll scare the other person away.
I have a very good friend of mine that has done every single thing you just said. She, you know, she's very smart when it comes to those types of things. Very proactive, and she does all those things. So I'm glad you reinforced the importance of those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's really big in the beginning. So
right, and you don't need to dress, as women, we don't need to dress really sexy on the first date either. I mean, dress a little conservatively. If the date goes well, as the relationship progresses, there's plenty of time to pull out the sexy outfits, you know? But you're trying to screen these people in the beginning.
I have a comment about that. You know, Stephanie, and, you know, sometimes it really doesn't matter what you wear, because depending on how a guy sees you physically, I mean, if you're beautiful, you could wear a potato sack and it wouldn't matter. They're still going to be all over you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because I think everyone has probably tried the internet dating, a lot of people that I know anyway, and, you know, a lot of my attractive friends have tried it, and, you know, they've told me that they didn't dress sexy, they didn't try to dress sexy, you know, they just wore conservative clothing, and it still, I mean, it still turned into a sexual situation where they made sure that they were interested in that.
Well, that's a red flag right there. That's a red flag. If a man is trying to talk sex too early on, phone sex, communicate via email sex all the time, and then in the beginning, you know, he needs to be a gentleman and show a little bit of respect, a little restraint in the beginning, or it's just not going to make the woman feel special either.
Stephanie, what kind of tips or things like that are on the website for the women that visit the site?
Well, I noticed a long time ago that women in abusive situations frequently do not have the funds to afford therapy or professional help, and also that they are embarrassed about their situations. They don't either have somebody to talk to, or they don't want to tell their family and friends about what they're really going through. So we have a volunteer physician that gives free medical advice. We have a volunteer psychotherapist who specializes in narcissistic and sociopathic men. And a woman can go on to the Woman Savers message board, which is the number one most popular abused women's forum on the internet. She can anonymously post her problem, and she can get professional and non-professional advice from women who've already been in her situation to hopefully shed light onto her situation and maybe get her out of it.
Wow, that's a tremendous resource.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you use two phrases that a lot of women and men on the hand are not familiar with, or they are familiar with the behaviors, but they're not familiar with the terms, and maybe you can explain it a little bit from the psychological standpoint. First of all, you said narcissistic, which is a particular kind of behavior, and for some of the listeners that may not know what those behaviors are, could you just kind of help out? Because when they're on that website and they see those behaviors in those descriptions, it'll help them out.
A narcissist is basically an egomaniac, and it can both in the form, they're really prevalent nowadays, and it can come both in the form of men and women. And narcissists can come across as very charming people, but everything is about them. You are the shadow, and you are just part of making them the star of their own show. And that's basically sums it up. They really don't care about anybody's needs but their own, and do whatever it takes to get their needs met.
Right.
Now,
right.
Stephanie, let me ask you this. I mean, I know you're not a psychologist, and I understand that, but what is the difference in a narcissistic person and a sociopath?
Well, you know, they're very, very similar, actually. A sociopath can be sometimes more dangerous. A narcissist tends to be emotionally abusive, and a sociopath can actually strike out. They can become stalkers. They can become physically abusive, although narcissists can also. Narcissists are mostly emotionally and sometimes verbally abusive.
So if you have an individual that is, they know that they're doing things that are, you know, that are, I guess, emotionally damaging for their partner, and they do them anyway, and they lie about it, and they sneak, and they do things that are, you know, not the right thing to do, make the wrong choices. That's more of a narcissistic type of thing. Because
sociopaths,
that's all they care about.
Sociopaths usually don't even know they have a problem.
Oh. Ooh.
So they're crazy people that don't realize they're crazy.
So I would venture to guess that there are some narcissistic people that could have sociopathic tendencies and vice versa.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's it.
So for our listeners, I was just going to say, so for our listeners and the folks that are listening on the net now are going to check out the archive shows, if you see any of those behaviors that you just heard about, it's important for you to go to the website and maybe check out the name of the guy that you're thinking about seeing and or seeing. Now, I will say this, Stephanie. It was, my name was searched because we wanted to see the credibility of the site, because we always research the shows and research the folks that we're going to talk to. And I want to tell you that it was refreshing to see my name not come up.
Well, you can always post yourself in there if you like.
Well, I'm just saying it was good. It was good not to see it not come up in a bad way or any capacity, but in a bad way specifically.
Well, you know, that's the case on the internet right now. Nothing is private anymore. The next generation is not going to know privacy like we did. Privacy is gone in all forms. I mean, you can Google somebody's house and zoom into it. You can Google somebody's name, and I could blog about this entire interview, create a website about it, and it would be out there forever. So there are various things you can do. You can post positive PR campaigns about yourself. So if some information shows up on page 50 of Google, it's not going to matter because nobody's going to find it. You can ignore it. You can post opinions about it. You can pretend to be other people. I mean, the internet is just such a free-for-all, like I said.
And I just realized something. I just set myself up. That just hit me.
What happened? Why?
Well, I'm just thinking. I just said my name's not on there. So if somebody wants to put that name because of what Stephanie just said, it could be out there very simply. So please, if anybody doesn't like me, don't put my name on the site.
Well, Tony, I'm sure there are a lot of people that are listening that know you very well because you are a celebrity, well-known personality in the Indiana and the region, actually. So ladies, if you're listening, you heard what Tony said. Don't put him up there. Obviously, you went out there and checked yourself out, Tony.
Just checking.
Doesn't hurt to check.
Right.
Now, Stephanie, let me ask you, I don't know if you really have any preferences or do you feel like that there are any specific dating sites that are better than others? Because I know that some that are very different, Harmony is very different how they process, and there are some that are kind of just a free-for-all. Match.com pretty much allows you to you know, do whatever you want. eHarmony, they seem very, very tightly. You know, several friends of mine at eHarmony, and they're very happy to bring people together. They're interested in a collective role in
Are you still there?
Yes, I think.
Yes.
I think I think your headset's breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you hear the question?
No, I didn't. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, what I was saying is that there are several different dating websites, many different popular websites out there.
Oh, the best ones.
Do you feel like anyone has several friends? Several friends have told me to get restricted about this, and like they take a more proactive role in trying to protect their members with some of their processes and policies and how they bring their people together.
Well, I like True.com because they screen for married people. And Match.com is also good, I mean, because they have a service where you can go on there and you can have a telephone conversation with somebody without ever giving out your telephone number. So you can correspond with these people, and that's great because that gives you more anonymity and keeps you safer longer. So, and there's, of course, if you don't want to spend any money, there's plentyoffish.com, which is 100% free. So that's one of the most popular dating websites in the world. And, you know, that's for all the people who don't want to pay any money, but I don't know what kind of quality of people you're going to get there. I would say stay away from some of these like sugardaddies.com. Those are not probably going to get you the results that you're after. There are great dating sites now that match people up with hobbies, and I can't recommend those enough because if you're Jewish, you could go to JDate. If you have a pet, you could go to singleswithpets.com. I mean, the options are limitless. If you're vegetarian, you can go to VeggieDate.
Wow. So there's really a site for a social
just
site
every preference.
For pretty much everyone.
Yes.
Very interesting. Yeah, because I know that there are, when I was doing some research on this, I noticed that there are even dating websites for different minorities. There are dating websites for African Americans, there are dating websites for Asian, Latino,
Yes, I'm still here just having some reception problems.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think what's happening is there's something going on with the headset or I'm not really sure. So
I can hear you again clearly now. I'm moving around all over the place to try to get it clear again.
Are you on a headset, Stephanie?
No, I'm not, but I am on a cordless. I'm on a landline cordless.
What I was saying is that in my research, I've noticed that there are many different dating websites that cater to specific ethnic groups. I've seen dating websites that cater to African Americans, Latinos, Asians, and some websites even cater to gays and lesbians.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's very interesting.
I saw one recently for Muslims, the Muslim dating site. They were advertising on my site, so that's another interesting one.
How does one go about starting a dating website?
Oh, you can buy them now, and there's so many of them out there. You can actually buy them quite cheap, but whether you actually make any money or make it out there is another story because the competition is fierce. The established websites have been around a long time, and it takes, you know, years to get to the top and a lot of marketing dollars.
Are there, and not trying to speak about any of your competition, but have you found that once you put your site up, there were quite a few people that were trying to do what you were doing?
Yes, yes. There are a few imitators here and there. There's nothing quite like Woman Savers. A lot of those other sites are a little bit more like gossip sites. Woman Savers charges the original author a fee to edit or delete a posting, which part of it goes to abused women's and children's charities, and the other portion keeps the website running. So if a woman goes on there and she posts a man in there, and it costs her $10 to edit if she changes her mind, or $25 if she wants to delete it altogether. And so that in itself is one of the best things I ever did because it has created a more better poster because there's a fee involved and people are more serious about posting.
Absolutely. You've created a platform for folks that are serious about the issue of what they're talking about. And most of the time, I know in the business that I deal with, when a person spends their money, they're going to be serious about what they spend their money on.
Right. And a lot of the other sites out there are dealing a lot about sex and infidelity, whereas the number one issue at Woman Savers is all forms of abuse, and then infidelity comes second. So we're more about abuse.
Well, I know one thing I wanted to ask also, when you talk about the abuse, I know you spoke about the doctors that you have from a forum standpoint. Do you ever have like an open forum where there's a webcast or a web chat or a webinar that goes on in any situation where folks can actually come in and, like we're doing with the show, and basically have a conversation among, in your case, thousands and hundreds of thousands of your listeners to possibly talk about some of the situations?
We have not done webinars yet. We have a chat room that includes audio and video capabilities that's free for our members, and it's very active, and there's a camaraderie in there, and women just help each other like crazy. And in the future, not only do we have conferences planned, but we'll do all sorts of things like that. We've got a whole team of experts that want to join up. We even have a man who is going to be the Mr. Romance. Like he's a poetry type man, and he's going to join as the expert in the romance category. And so it's really, really growing, and yes, that is coming in the future.
Yeah, because I was just thinking from the standpoint of dealing with that, you'll be reaching a lot of folks at one time, and that dialogue among one another would be a great opportunity for them to do. And I like the fact that you know, it's like group therapy. I mean, that's the best way I could say it. It would be like group therapy, and I've got to admit, been through group therapy, and it's always helped when you're sharing your stories with folks that are in similar situations as yourself.
Well, it works really, really well. Like you guys were talking about earlier, when you help somebody else, it heals you. And that's what happened with me. The creation of Woman Savers was so cathartic for me, because what it did is it put my situation into perspective, because there's always people out there that have it so much worse than you. And so it allowed me to heal faster. And when I started giving women advice, I just realized that I wasn't so bad off after all.
Hello, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you very much. Thank you guys so much for hanging in with our technical difficulties. I do know that we were having some network problems with Blog Talk Radio earlier, so I know they're in the process of working on it, and I do appreciate your patience. So, go ahead, Tom.
I was just going to say, and every website, being a technical person, and I know, Kathy, you being a technical person, every website has these kinds of issues at one point or another. So we
Absolutely.
Work through them. We work through them. We do the show, and we still want to make sure that we put a good product out there, and we still help the folks. So, again, we appreciate you being there.
So, and you know, I didn't hear the questions that you asked, Tony, but, and you know, hopefully I won't be redundant and repeat it, but I was going to ask Stephanie, do you see a specific age group more on these dating websites, more so than others? Do you think it's the younger generation, 20s, or mid-generation, 30s and 40s, or older, 40-plus, or even in their 50s?
Well, it's pretty much across the board. It goes from about 18 to 60, but I would say the majority of them are 18 to about 45, and that is because that age group is more familiar with the internet, so they're going to be online doing research and they're going to be posting more, whereas the seniors are still learning, and they're the ones that are just huge targets right now because they're very trusting and they get conned a lot.
Do you feel like that there are any specific, and Tony, you may have asked her this, and I apologize if you did, but are there any specific dating websites that you feel are more secure that, you know, to help their members to maintain a level of security more so than others?
Yes, I discussed that a little while ago. I said True is good for screening out married people, and then Match.com allows you to have telephone conversations without giving out your telephone number, which is really important. And then, but more so, the responsibility to screen and research your date is up to you. You cannot rely on an outside service to do that for you. You're going to have to take the responsibility, and you need to treat, if you're serious about a person, you need to treat that almost like a research paper. You need to find out what you're dealing with, who you're dealing with, what that person's background is. And, you know, the goal in life, not only in your personal life, but also in your professional life, is to surround yourself with trusting, good, kind people. And you can't do that with a stranger. You just don't know who you're dealing with.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, because that is like a moniker that people really need to live by, and particularly when they're going out there on the web and they're taking a look at who they're communicating with. Is the bottom line is, and we mentioned it earlier, you just have to care about yourself more than the possibility of who you're going to be with. That's mm-hmm. the most important part, because if you take care of that, and when you're signing on and you're having these conversations, some of those things become very obvious if you're thinking about yourself first. If you put yourself first in that place, it gives you an opportunity to see those red flags that we mentioned a little bit earlier a lot easier, because a lot of times when you're in that pain, you don't see it because you're in that mourning place or that sorrow place or that hurting place, and you just want to feel better or have someone make you feel better, and that's not going to happen for you. And if it does, it's only going to be momentarily.
Right. If you allow the wrong person into your life and you don't research properly, they can destroy it. They can destroy you emotionally. They can abuse you. They can destroy you financially. All aspects of your life can be completely destroyed. So I can't stress this enough. You know, research, research, research.
And internet dating, it could be a wonderful thing. I mean, because there are certain age groups that, you know, probably upper 30s and 40s that are tired of the dating scene and they're tired of the bar scene, and they really would like to have an opportunity to get to know someone from the privacy of their own home.
It's such a great tool.
We're
busy. Yeah, everybody's busy. They don't have time. People don't want to go to bars. And this allows you to cross borders. You can meet you know, tons and tons of people that you would never have had the opportunity to meet by being set up by one of your friends or that you meet at church. So it's great. It can increase your chances of meeting Mr. and Mrs. Right, but also increase your chances of meeting Mr. and Mrs. Wrong. So it's all how you use the tool.
And I've heard of a new, I don't know if it's new or if it's been around for a while, but it's called MillionaireMatch.com, where you can...
Yes. They wanted to advertise on my site, too. That's why I'm laughing.
Oh, really?
Is it
a scam? Is it a scam?
It's just like sugar daddies. They're all kind of based on that. I don't think it's a good place to start. I understand the concept of wanting to be with somebody successful, but to base everything on your pocketbook is, I don't know if it's necessarily the best place to start.
Well, and what's so amazing about that is the fact that in many instances, those individuals who are in those positions or situations, unless they're retired, they're working a whole lot. So, yeah, they want to meet someone, but the level of commitment, it may not be that great, and that's not going to be explained on that website. All they're going to do is exchange the information and probably impress each other with the amount of stuff that they're doing.
Right, and if you're a man and you've got a bunch of money, I mean, I really don't understand why they would do this to begin with. Why would you post your ad on sugardaddy.com if you really want to be a sugar daddy? I mean, you might as well just go out and get yourself a hooker, for Pete's sake. I mean, it's not much different.
True. Right.
It is true.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even realize that there was one called sugardaddy.com. I mean, is that a real one?
Yes, there's lots of them like that. They're you know, the internet is full of so much stuff.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, that just really it really makes it difficult for the ones that are out there legitimately looking for a mate. It could be a very great service, but you know, you just like you said, you just need to weed out the bad and make sure you look for the red signs. Ladies, gentlemen, everyone that's listening to this show, the most important thing you need to leave here with tonight, if you're going to try internet dating, it is a wonderful tool. It's there for you. It can make you or break you, depending on how you choose to use it.
Now, you know what I was just thinking, Stephanie and Kathy, something that that you might want to do, and this could be ladies and gentlemen, in the fact that they have these webcams now. You know, folks put photos on websites that are 10, 15, 20 years old.
Yes.
And
Oh, my.
And they'll put those on. So, you know, you may want to invest in and say, you know, I really enjoy the conversation that we're having here on the net. And as a matter of fact, because the webcams are so reasonably priced now, I'm going to send you a webcam so we can converse back and forth. And I think a red flag would be, oh, no, I don't think my computer dealing can handle that software or anything like that, because pretty much they all now can do it unless you just have a real old computer. So maybe that would be one way of doing it also.
That was one of my dating nightmare stories, just one of many. I corresponded with a man, and I thought he was a great guy, and he sent me a couple photos and told me he had a successful printing business and a beautiful home. And I finally met him, and when I met him, I didn't recognize him. His photos were over 10 years old, which that started everything off on the wrong foot because he looked nothing like his photographs. Then his successful printing business turned out to be a copy machine and a computer in his parents' basement where he lived, and he also said he drove a great sports car, and when he picked me up, it was in like a rusted 1970-something Camaro that was filthy, and so I just had a horrible experience, and I couldn't get out of date fast enough. But, you know, I wasted time for everybody. So what I did is I actually made somebody take a digital photograph of that day's newspaper. And I said, just send me a quick digital shot with your phone and just hold up today's newspaper. And I know you might sound it's weird, but I've had a lot of problems on the Internet. And if a person's cool, I mean, the guy did it for me, no problem. He's like, no problem. Here you go.
Gotcha.
And see, you know, I think the reason a lot of people do that, Tony, and you may agree with me on this, you may not, I don't know, but I think the reason a lot of people do that is because even though they may be ashamed of their physical appearance today, they were proud of it many years ago, and they're hoping that they can maintain some type of dialogue back and forth with the person, and they'll get the person to like them for who they are on the inside. So when they finally do meet, it won't matter what they look like.
It doesn't usually work like that. It wastes the other person's
what
time.
Though.
And it's very misleading, and that happens too when those women get the glamour shots, and they put all the makeup, and they do the lighting just perfectly, and the man gets there, and they're like, who are you, you know? So I think it's much better to take a candid shot of doing maybe a hobby that you love, maybe, you know, at a sporting event, or maybe you're out golfing, or something like that, so you can base it on a common interest, so that way you will attract another golfer, or maybe another skier, or something like that, So you're not starting out with this misleading lying about your weight, lying about your age, lying about the way you look, all lies, lies, lies.
I know, and I absolutely agree, because I try not to wear a lot of makeup when I do my photos, because, I mean, I want someone to recognize me when they meet me in person. I want them to recognize me and not, you know, just see a bunch of makeup in a photo.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to do a glamour shot, fine, but then show a bunch of shots all together. You know
exactly.
What I mean? Post
exactly.
5 or 10 of them because the ads with photographs get, you know, triple time the response as those without photographs.
That's very true. And
true.
And would that be a red flag also when a person doesn't post their picture?
Sometimes it means that they're committed and they're trying to cheat and they don't want their significant other or anybody know that they are online dating. So it can be. Other times that person is shy and they don't want people knowing their business that they're out there dating. So it's not always, but, you know, it's something to, again, research further.
And I also have to add to that, too, sometimes because I have tried Internet dating in my life. And I particularly didn't post a photo because I didn't want anyone getting caught up in the physical appearance. I wanted them to get to know me as a person.
Mm-hmm. You can do that in the beginning, and you can start correspondence and list your hobbies and list your likes and dislikes. And then later on, if you find you have a base there, then you can exchange photos. Yeah, I mean, you have control. You can do it however you want.
And you guys, you know, the time has just really kind of crept up on us here, and this conversation and discussion has been so wonderful, but we are winding down in our last 60 seconds. So, Stephanie, I want to thank you so much for coming this evening, and you have been a wealth of knowledge. You shared a lot of great information, and I'm going to make sure that my listeners have access to your website so they can go out there and take a look around. And I'm going to go ahead and end the show now because we only have 30 seconds left. And again, thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you to everyone in the chat room that joined us and everyone that dialed in.
Thanks so much. You guys were great to talk with. The conversation just flowed easily.
Thank
great.
You,
thank you so much. I am Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony DeMont.
And we will see you this time next week. Good night, everyone.